All right, we are now recording. It is 7 o'clock. We will call the March 10th, 2021 meeting of the Township of Flint Mayor and Council to order. Madam Clerk, have we met all the conditions required from the Open Public Meetings Act and Sunshine Laws?
Yes, we have.
Thank you very much. Would you all please join me in a flag salute? If you don't have one, Connor has one in the background. I have one here. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic
which stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty, and justice for all.
All right. Would you please call the roll, Ms. Clark?
Councilman Glazer.
Present.
Councilman Sprouse. Is he not on yet?
Here.
You there?
Yep, I'm here.
Whitler. Councilwoman Switlick?
Here.
Council President Kochanowski?
Here.
And Mayor Malay?
Here.
We have the quorum.
Very good. I'm just going to take 2 seconds to renumber this. All right. First item of business is comments from the public. This comment period is for items listed on the agenda only. I'll read the instructions here. We will have two public comment periods. The first will be for items that are listed on the agenda, and the second will be for items not on the agenda. If you are using a computer, click on Participants and then click on Raise Hand next to your name. If you are using a mobile device, click Raise Hand from the meeting controls. If you are using a telephone, press star 3. You will hear a prompt. You have raised your hand to ask a question. Please wait to speak until the host calls on you. If you need to unmute yourself, please press star 6. I will do my best to call on people in the order in which they raise their hands. Everyone will be limited to 3 minutes, and I would ask that anyone who's not speaking, council members included, mute yourselves so that we can hear any residents who wish to speak. And we'll open the public comment session. I'm looking for electronically raised hands. I don't see any. I see a visually raised hand. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
We're here.
Okay, we can hear you.
Well, I don't know. I don't have a question. I just don't know how to.
First time you
do. I don't know how to do the raise my hand with the star 6. I'm on a phone, so I raise my hand. I don't know how to do it.
If you're using the WebEx client on a device on the phone,
yes,
there should be in the meeting controls a button that says raise your hand. Otherwise, if not, you're fine. You can just raise your hand visually. I saw it. We can work that way. So that works. So go ahead if you'd like to speak.
No, I just wanted to know how to do the phrase. Okay.
Sure.
Just listen and
learn.
All right. Are there any others who might wish to speak? I don't see
yes.
anything.
Actually, there is. I can't find the raise your hand option under participant meeting anywhere. So I'm actually looking, but I'm in Cisco WebEx meetings.
I believe it's next to your name.
Your name.
It should be next to your name. Mr. Corcadillos has raised his hand.
I'm clicking on my name. Nothing happens.
All right. Well, go ahead. You have the floor. I'll give you 3 minutes if you'd like to speak.
Can you state your name first, please?
Yes. Please state your name and address.
All right. Steve, 1 Grand Inn Terrace. This is something that's not on the list.
And it's not on the list. If it's not on the list, I'd ask that you hold it to the second public comment session.
Okay.
Thank Mr. Corcadillas.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Mayor Lay, there are people who think you shouldn't be mayor. I know that because they told me. But in November, you were elected by an overwhelming majority. So it would be ludicrous, irresponsible, disingenuous for the council or the public to question at this point whether you should be mayor. So why are you going around saying that you're hearing a lot about keeping cannabis out of Clinton Township? New Jersey voters have overwhelmingly approved cannabis, and Clinton Township voters have overwhelmingly approved cannabis, just like they approved you. So I think that you should at this point be seriously considering anyone saying that they want to keep cannabis out of Clinton Township is also ludicrous, irresponsible, and disingenuous. I'm really dismayed to see agenda item 13 tonight for an ordinance to prohibit all classes of cannabis business within the township. That ship has sailed. So would you introduce a resolution prohibiting you from serving as mayor because I heard a lot about keeping Brian Lay out of office? And that seems funny, but the two are really equivalent. The item that should be on your agenda is an ordinance to quickly facilitate, enable, encourage, and properly regulate cannabis businesses in Clinton Township to promote economic development. It's just like they voted for you. That's what Clinton Township residents voted for. We expect you to serve as mayor, but we also expect you to do our will regarding cannabis without playing political games and catering to special interest groups that want to undermine the November referendum on cannabis. The council has one job at this point, to implement the approved referendum and the new law. The council should not be listening to people who want to keep it out. They're the minority. The council needs to be listening to the election results and to the new law. By the way, please don't suffer us to listen to the tired political tropes. We need time to study this. We need time to hear from all sides. We need to pass an ordinance prohibiting all classes of cannabis business because there's an August deadline. You've all had 4 months since the election to work on this, and all of you knew this was coming. The legislature passed a law to implement what the public voted for. All of you promised in your election campaigns to work hard for CT residents to do your jobs. Now you have almost 6 months to develop a plan and regulations for cannabis in Clinton Township. Your job is to make it happen. I don't know what part of voters overwhelmingly approved cannabis you don't all understand. So this agenda item, I take as an insult to Clinton Township voters. So please stop trying to play political games with this. Do your job, get the cannabis businesses going in Clinton Township immediately. By the way, Brian, congratulations on getting elected. Those people who told me you shouldn't be mayor, I told them to get over it. The people voted. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Corcadillas, and you are right on the nose. So appreciate your comments, and let me just see if I can't stop this here for a second. The only thing that I would say is that this ordinance is on to begin this conversation. There are a number of reasons, I think, good ones to begin it in this manner. And when we get to reports, we have an item that is unusual on our agenda for our attorney to give us a synopsis and a rundown of what this new legislation, which I would add, was only enacted in, well, I suppose it was signed in February, passed the legislature late in January. So the clock's already running on us. But this is the forum for that kind of discussion, and I look forward to it. And there will be obviously time for everyone to have their voice heard. And I have heard from a number of people in town, folks by whom I don't know, who were concerned about it. And I look forward to a good discussion. I see Ms. Udoff McDonald has her hand up. Could you just state your name and address, please? Thanks.
Shari Udoff McDonald at 74 Old Mountain Road. So I was just following on the same topic. So if you want me to save it for later in the evening, or I can discuss it now.
Please go ahead. It's an item on the agenda, so it's perfectly legit.
Yeah. So as Nick mentioned, I also have concerns around putting in an ordinance which goes against the majority of the will of the people of Clinton Township and the state of New Jersey. for the cannabis shops. And, you know, I was speaking with my husband earlier, and we were looking at places of business that are a lot of vacancies open in Clinton Township where shops could go. But there's also examples of, like, Metro Seafood, for example, opened up that brewery, right, the beer shop next door, the Sunken Silo. And since, now Metro Seafood, we all know, has always been a busy place. But since they have opened up that place next door, they have been booming their business at both places. They, I even just before logging on here tonight, Metro Seafood had sent out a notice that they're looking for a lot more hiring for the summer. That's how much their business is booming, with outdoor patio space and everything else. So having a beer shop right next door to the food shop is a great example of these two that have combined together. For example, what if there was a shop in Clinton Township next to something like Sweet Melissa's? You know, I used this as an example earlier, right? Somebody can go and purchase their recreational marijuana. Usually they're high-end shops. If anyone's been out to Colorado or Washington, you go in. These are not like, it's like a jewelry store with nice items. They're not where hoodlums go. They're high-end stores, and then you can go get a Danish, you know, next door at Sweet Melissa's. But what I'm saying is that these are, why send people, they're going to go get the recreational marijuana. So they can do it in our town, in our area, spend the money here, spend the money at our restaurants and our delis and our bakeries and everywhere else, or they're going to go over to Reddington or Clinton or some other neighboring town and spend their money there. So I'd rather see them spending the money in Clinton Township and actually kind of revive some of our dead space that we have. So I think it, you know, is the will of the people of the town. And I'd like to just say that, you know, I appreciate allowing us to comment tonight, but I'd like to see the ordinance that shouldn't be. This is the way we should be moving forward at looking at how we're going to help these businesses to be profitable and to progress in Clinton Township.
All right.
So thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the comments. Is there anyone else on the line who wishes to speak who is finding it difficult to raise their hand? I see one phone number on. If that person on the phone wishes to speak at this period of public comment, please try pressing star 6. Seeing no movement, I'm going to close this portion of the public comment. We'll move on to the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, all items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the Township Mayor and Council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will not be a separate discussion of these items unless requested by the Mayor, Council Member, or Citizen, in which event the item will be removed from the general order of business and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. First crack, are there any items on the consent agenda that the Council wishes to remove? Hearing none. Any from the public? Hearing none, and if you're on the phone, you can try pressing star 6. I'd ask for a motion in favor of the consent agenda.
I'll move.
May I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Call the roll, please, Madam Clerk.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Mulway?
Yes.
Motion carries.
That also took care of Section F, which was approval of the minutes. We move on to reports. Councilman Glazer, you're first.
Yes, the planning board met last week. We heard two applications, one for T-Mobile, who installed the, I'll call it the pretty cell tower at the corner of Petticoat and, well, really 2278. Little problem with their as-built was a little different than as-approved, so they were coming for approval. That was granted with some conditions. It's by and large, it's a foot off here and a foot off there. So they weren't huge variances, just a question of how that occurred and what the ramifications, which I think they'll sort out properly. Exxon was also before the board asking for a site plan waiver. They want to move an acid tank from one part of their property to another part. It's fully contained, and that was also granted. The ordinance subcommittee was charged with a few priorities, looking at a so-called technical review committee, which is actually responsive to a comment council had, I think, three meetings ago about why certain actions need to go before a board and can't be handled administratively. So we're studying that. And then also working on some rezoning of Route 31, which is a follow-on to the project we did with Route 22. Historic Preservation met also last week. Really three points of conversation that I would highlight. First, still conversation about trying to close down that house up on Windy Acres, the Gitlow House, to try to hold it fortified a little bit more to prevent more vandalism. So we had a discussion about putting some plywood in and maybe getting the Polytech guys to help us with windows. So a little bit of action on that, nothing firm yet, but moving. And then a further discussion on the that small spring house right by the public safety building that I do want to follow up and have a conversation with Vito or maybe even Jay about moving that tree, which is a hazard before that can be restored. But I'll take that offline. And an end of report.
Thank you much. Councilman Strauss.
Yes, good evening, everyone. A few things on the agenda. It's almost hung up. The Clinton Township Board of Education has not had a meeting since we last convened. It will be this upcoming Monday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. The Clinton Township Recreation Commission, Environmental Commission, rather, we had our meeting back on March 4th. However, we have some events coming up. There's a stream cleanup at Windy Acres this Saturday, March 13th, and a rain barrel workshop at Bunce Park on Saturday, April 10th. 2021. The Rain Power Workshop has been posted on the Clinton Township Recreation website as well as the Facebook page with instructions to sign up for those interested in participating. Our next Environmental Commission meeting is the first Thursday of the month, so that would be Thursday, April 1st, 8 p.m., and that will be held virtually as the meetings have been. Public safety report. I did meet with Lieutenant DeRosa in reference again to the department's needs and looking to move forward. We discussed staffing, both through patrol and administrative staffing, upcoming expenses with the budget, the body-worn camera mandate that's coming up. I'm waiting to hear back from the Joint Insurance Fund on the signage from the Public Safety Building, and also great conversation and good research with Lieutenant DeRosa and expanding the canine unit for the police department, which is something, I guess, Mayor, that we can bring up under new business.
Honestly, I think you can bring it up now.
Oh, okay. So as I stated, Lieutenant DeRosa and I have been speaking about the expansion of the canine unit for quite some time now, and I would like to get the council permission to move forward, to let Lieutenant DeRosa move forward on that. There's a class upcoming in June. It's local in Huntington County. They actually have an office in Clinton Township, so one of our local businesses as well. And I believe Lieutenant DeRosa is on, and he can expand on that and be able to answer questions that any of the council members may have. Allowing him to move forward this important step.
Thanks, Mark. Just to let you know that we have the money set aside for it that we secured from donations and from Exxon when they donated. It's really not going to cost us anything. We actually received some more donations that we put into our canine trust. So we're ready to rock and roll. A class starts in June. We don't need to buy a car for it. We're going to outfit one of our older cars. So moving forward, you know, the way things are going, you know, and our dogs are not trained to indicate on marijuana, so, which is a good thing. So a lot of those dogs in the state, I believe the guy told me, close to well over 100 dogs are not even going to be really be able to be used if they are imprinted on marijuana. And our dog currently is not imprinted on marijuana, which is good, and our new dog will not be imprinted on marijuana.
And all the training, et cetera, would be covered as well?
Yes, all the training is covered. It's included with the fee for the dog. And it's actually nice because it's actually going to be in Alexandria Township, which will be a short drive for the officer because last time he was going to Bergen County, which kind of created some issues. But this one is going to be pretty easy. I already have an officer in mind and put him on an admin schedule, which will be no overtime incurred or anything like that. So, again, we're going to raise some more money. We have some other people that want to donate. So, it's a good thing for the department and the community as well.
Tom, for the people that are listening, can you expand on why it's good that our dog is not imprinted on marijuana, since that is a hot topic right now?
Yes, it's good because virtually if your dog is imprinted on marijuana, obviously marijuana is decriminalized now, but it will be recreational soon. So it's virtually your dog will be useless, and it's not the only thing that people transport. You know, our dog is imprinted on, I believe, cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, MDMA, which is ecstasy, and I believe one other narcotic, so which is a huge problem. You know, the methamphetamine problem is huge now. Heroin and cocaine is still a huge issue. So, and not to mention, it is a tracking dog. When you have missing children, missing elderly people, or, you know, in case, you know, somebody runs from a crime scene or something to that effect. So it's multifaceted, and, you know, we'll get a lot of use out of them. And one thing I would like to add is our overtime will be down. It has been down. My plan, and Mark will agree, is that we plan on putting them on opposite ends of the schedule. This way there's no scheduling issues, and it will definitely keep, you know, overtime down.
Thank you.
Right. As Lieutenant Rosa said, there's always a dog on. It cuts down on calling out Sergeant Tiger, who's the only one at the time, and gives his dog a break, too. So yes. Great job, Tom, on that.
Thanks, Mark.
Any questions, concerns from counsel on that? If not, I think, I don't know, Vita, do we need a motion to authorize you to work with Tom to start working on this process if we're all in favor of it?
Yes, I would think a motion was in order.
All right. Councilman Strauss, would you like to make that motion?
Yeah, absolutely. Putting the proper verbiage behind it, Vita, if you could just make a motion that we grant Lieutenant DeRosa the permission and authority to move forward with this endowment.
I'll second that.
Madam Clerk, the roll, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetlick?
Yes.
Council President Kosinowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Thank you very much. Councilman Strauss, does that conclude your report?
You know what? I just put my paperwork down. Hold on just a second. Real quick. Other than miscellaneous. Brian, just you and I have to meet with the Lebanon Fire Company. I will arrange that. That ends my public safety report. And just one other thing, I wanted to take an opportunity to thank Public Works and all the employees there for all their hard work during this last few rounds of snowstorms that we had in keeping our roads clear, our roads safe, and it is a daunting task, especially when it lasts for several days and the frequency. And I know I spoke with the Public Works Director today, and he had also received some phone calls praising the guys for keeping the roads clear and salted for it's safe for us to travel as well as our first responders. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you, Mark. And I'm going to ask that all of the participants, including counsel and Lieutenant DeRosa, mute if you're not speaking. We had some interference on the last meeting that made it a little bit hard to hear the audio. I can somewhat hear it again. So if I mute you, don't take offense. Councilwoman Switwick, you're on next.
I'm not muted, am I? Did you mute me?
Good. We can hear you.
Okay. The North Voorhees adoption of the preliminary budget and regular meeting is on March 16th, and the annual budget hearing is on April 27th. Open space, Mark had mentioned there's going to be a stream assessment with environmental at Windy Acres by AmeriCorps New Jersey Watershed. That's mostly environmental, but open space was invited, so I did register. I'm looking forward to learning how to test the water there, as well as hopefully down the road, Beaverbrook. Our open space meeting, we met on February 26th, and our next one is on March 25th. Let's see, at Windy Acres, we received the 7 picnic tables along with the 1 ADA compliant table, which was all funded by the Exxon grant. They are all located at the DPW location now. And when we are pouring the foundation for the pavilion at the end of March and April, they'll be placed there. We're looking into options still for electricity hookup for the Gitlow House and the pavilion. We really want our security hooked up. That's a priority for open space right now. Tom, Sylvie, and Jay are working on that. I'm working with an Eagle Scout who's installing 5 wooden benches throughout the property, and the trails are a mess. They need to dry out. There's a bunch of cedars that fell during the storm, so I cleaned that up. But until it dries up from the snow melt, I'm just going to let it go for a bit. Prospect East, that's my priority right now. Basically, the leaves are off the trees and the bushes, so now's the time to cut in the remainder of the trails. So once it gets started, it's difficult to cut in the trails. So I'm running out of time because I guess it comes out in April. But as we mentioned previously, I'm trying to get close to 3 miles on the property, and we also have some tires we need to clean up. Marukian, the disc golf, Matt, who is a designer, and Ben Hunt, our volunteer, who's sort of heading the project with us, did another property walk today to make sure things are marked out clearly. We are starting to clear out just invasives and vines, which is proper forestry management maintenance. The 5K, I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to reroute the 5K. I need to measure the exact mileage we are losing from the field and a half. I'm hoping to get that done maybe May. And the layout is finalized. We have 3 picnic tables going in. I met with an Eagle Scout on Monday. It's going to be at the trailhead. And the hunting program, Mike Aversa and Les gave us a little report, and they will be approaching council maybe this month, maybe in April. I'm not sure. I'll let you know. But they harvested 35 deer this past season. The only thing, so they're going to make a change for Windy Acres at my request to make it bow only, no firearms at all. All the other properties should remain the same, Prospect East, West, Packets, White Cloud, and Braze Hill. They are going to ask if they can add Marukian, limited area about 30 acres, bow only, and it would be 1 team away from homes, 5K, new housing, and disc golf. I'm pretty sure I know how we all feel about the potential add. I'm not really for it. But we can discuss that when they make their presentation, which is probably at the end of this month. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councilor President Kaczynski. You'll have to mute.
Yeah. So as far as the sewer authority, Brian and I finally have a meeting next Friday to get a tour of the facility to see the improvements, where we hope to have a good conversation with Janice, the mayor of Clinton Town. As far as the finance committee, we have a budget that we're going to introduce later, so I'll leave it at that.
All right. From my perspective, let's start with the department. In our reports, we received our monthly report from the Annandale Hose Company, and typically this time of year, in February, they hold an awards dinner, and they weren't able to do so. So they're sharing with us that which they would normally have celebrated at the awards ceremony. So I figured as a it would be nice to publicly recognize the recipients and to call some of them out for some of their positive service here. We have Firefighter of the Year award was not really a surprise, awarded to Charles Chip Riddle. Chip, when you look at the list of the top 10 responders, is number one and made 256 calls this past year. The Chief's Award went to Kyle Reed, who's a recent graduate of North. And the top 10 responders, in addition to Chip, were Frederick Schutz, 234, Charles Vaden, 231, Thomas Kantorski, 222 calls. Colby Williams made 208 calls. Kyle, as mentioned before, made 204 calls. And really sounds like a great addition to the squad. Wyatt Vaden, 192 calls. Anthony Mbezi, 184 calls. Former Chief Bob Emery, 159 calls. And Matt Thomas, 150 calls. So I want to thank all of them for everything that they do day and night for the township. It's an all-volunteer department, so a lot of interrupted evenings, and we should all be grateful for their service.
Thank you, Mayor. They'll appreciate that.
Yes, yes, and thank them, too, for us. Have some appointments to make as well. We've got a recent vacancy on the Environmental Commission, which gets the train moving, so to speak. Steve Cromanhoek, who's still involved in the Annandale Hose Company and with CERT and CTSA, has resigned due to a conflict because the meetings tend to run into his CTSA meetings actually tend to run into the environmental meetings. So I'm going to move Rachel Sprague, who's in an alternate slot, into the regular 3-year unexpired term of Steve's that's expiring at the end of 2021. We're going to move Alex Ambrose up to the alternate one spot, also expiring at the end of 2021. Mario Caballero, we're going to move in. He's a new member, just recently expressed interest to Council President Strauss, so we will appoint him to alternate number two, a seat that expires in 2022. And Carla, I'll send you all this too so you have it. I'll update that spreadsheet. I'm also going to make two planning board appointments. When Mr. Glazer moved from planning board to council, his seat was vacated. We made some arrangements, and I have some additional changes to make. We're going to appoint Sandra Butcher to the alternate one seat, which expires in 2022. That is a move up from the alternate two that I had put her in at the beginning of the year. And I'm going to appoint Kate Johnson as a new member, alternate two, a seat that expires at the end of this year, 2021. In other township news, old municipal building construction drawings were received by the state last week so that they can begin their review. The utility easements, Carla, I believe you said, have come in, printed out, so I've got to come in tomorrow and sign those, tomorrow or Friday, and that is moving along. A little slower than I'd like, but it's moving. The last call that I attended for the county's vaccine distribution, and there's going to be another call coming up soon specific to the county, they had already, as of February 25th, given out first shots to 15% of the eligible population in the county. And half of those have had their second. So by now, hopefully that's gone up. And anecdotally, it does seem like there is more and more vaccine becoming available. That's a good thing. Also want to bring to everyone's attention, if they don't already know, there is a pending application before the Town of Clinton Land Use Board for a 100,000 square foot warehouse fabricator and supplier of Christmas trees, fake Christmas trees, that promises to likely have a negative impact from a traffic standpoint on the adjoining Deer Meadow neighborhood, River Bend Road, et cetera. And I've already had conversations with our engineer. We're looking into ways to potentially, should that go through, close off MOBUS to through traffic, potentially putting in a cul-de-sac. That may be an issue that we'll have to discuss fully and with the neighbors if that application passes, but I wanted to bring it up to everyone's attention, make sure everybody's aware. It has the potential from a traffic perspective especially to be a problem because there's really no good way that I could see that a tractor trailer can get from that location to 78 West. And we just have to make sure we protect our residents as best we can and encourage any resident who has a concern to attend that. I believe the next land use board meeting is the 16th of March, so bring as many detailed concerns as you can to their land use board. From the Recreation Committee.
Can I just ask real quick? Sorry, I was on mute because he told me to. The traffic study will be then? They're going to present a traffic study on how they plan on doing all this at that meeting?
From what I've heard, I did not attend the first one, but I believe the traffic engineer is yet to present his or her testimony. So
he's scheduled for the 16th.
So they're going to present then, because I'm just dying to see what they have, how this is going to work.
Well, Mr. Mayor, on the traffic, obviously you mentioned this, the 78 West traffic. I don't think it's lost on any of us that the way to get there is going down 31, turning on Center Street, and then going on 173. I know the state DOT gave a no-interest letter, at least that was the testimony. I guess that means there's little we can do if there's more backups to that intersection around that roadway.
On 31 or?
Not on 31. I think our part of Center Street off of 31 where they go down by the Chevy Shine to turn to go on to 78.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a very difficult one to exclude by weight.
Right.
And, but
because it is an access to a highway.
Right. I would imagine, however, DeRosa, I think, is still on. Yes. He may be able to chime in on we would probably have to look to enforce other regulations that may be being violated because of obstruction of the roadway or what have you on that road.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you want me to say something, Mayor? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty much in the ballpark on that one for Senator.
Yeah. Like we discussed, maybe like a no idling ordinance and maybe a weight limit ordinance because they will find their way if they reroute. So I don't know if you can – we have the ordinance, but we have to do for that particular section or roadway. But, you know, with deliveries, idling at night, almost like the Hyona situation.
Yeah,
you don't want to get into a situation where the residents are all up in arms complaining. So we have to really take a look at that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a good look on our ordinances then. Thank you very much. And from the Rec Committee is still trying to do summer rec. They are considering capping the number of attendees just so that they can manage their staffing because they don't want to overstaff, and it'll depend on how many commitments they get between here and in the next few months. On March 27th, they are holding an Easter egg hunt at Bunt Park, socially distanced, all the proper protocols. So keep an eye out for more details on that. I believe it's posted on the website. Also, we've got June 26th, a food truck event, which sounds like it would be really good and should be acceptable in the current climate with the virus. And lastly, there's a resolution on this evening, if you didn't see it, in the consent agenda, which I think we've already done, for the refurbishment of the basketball, tennis, and, well, essentially refurbishing the existing four basketball courts and taking two out and in their place, putting a tennis court and three or four pickleball courts. It might be four. Pickleball is quite popular now. So basketball courts in really bad shape, so that needs to get done. And if we can spread the activities around, that'll be good. And then I'll discuss the budget at a later time. That's all that I have. Ms. Nekovitz, do you have anything you'd like to add, or we're pretty good?
Myself, there I go.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that I am working with Mike Wright to obtain a direct install grant through the New Jersey Clean Energy Program for LED lighting upgrades for all the municipal buildings, the court, you know, the police department, the public works building, and of course the main office buildings. And probably we'll have a resolution for consideration by the next meeting. And working with Tom Sylvia regarding the change of use at the Marukian property, we're moving ahead with the Green Acres regs to accomplish that. And that's it. Doing a few other things, but
and some highlights. That's actually a great point on the change of use, which I think Councilwoman Smith mentioned.
Hey, that's
going to be a huge sign.
It will be huge. And we just ordered, we're just in the process of ordering it. Actually, I think I signed the purchase order yesterday. And we'll be having an ad in the newspaper, a display ad. We'll have something on the website. And the public hearing will be at a regular committee meeting, last meeting in April. I think that was the date we did. Yes, I think that's it. So, okay.
Vita, Mark sign. Krause here.
You're going to ask me to sign.
You can email me.
I'll email it to you tomorrow because it actually is just laid right out in the regs with size we needed for the property.
So it would be on the trailhead, like it's positioned on
post.
The trailhead?
Jay is going to put in post.
Put it. Okay.
We're ordering a big sign.
Rule.
It has to be seven inch letters.
Okay.
it has to be noticed.
Right,
and, you know, so that people, if they're driving by or whatever, can see it. Okay.
Oh
boy.
That's it. Vita, Mark Strauss. I'm sorry, I had a question about the grant on the New Jersey Clean Energy. Is that going to encompass the fire stations as well?
I'm going to have to. Well, you know what? I have that here because he did send some of the estimates. Annandale Hose 1, yes. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's Station 1 and Station 2. I don't know what upgrades. I know they did some building modifications a few years back on the Chief Emery. I'm not sure if any of the, the clean energy lighting or anything like that was done. But that's all. Just wanted to check.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Lieutenant
DeRosa. No report here. Just thank you for everybody's support on the K-9 and looking forward to moving forward with that. So that's it for me.
Okay. Without further ado, then, I'm going to turn things over to our township attorney, Ms. Cecil, and if you don't mind, just illuminate for us some of the details, issues, concerns, et cetera, regarding the marijuana legislation.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Mayor. And actually, before I launch into that, I just, for the benefit of the members of the public who are in the meeting, just as a point of process, the ordinance that's on the agenda, it's on the agenda for what's called introduction on first reading, which literally means putting the question out there for public consideration and debate. So I don't want people thinking that what's being voted on tonight is the actual adoption of the ordinance. It's not, and it is literally just putting that proposal out, and then there will be a public hearing before the council takes any action on adopting whether or not to adopt it. So turning now to the legislation and I can't even really give you the Reader's Digest version necessarily because the primary bill, the legislation is actually a package of three different bills, the main one of which is 243 pages long. So when I say that attorneys are presently slogging through it, I mean that literally. It is a slog. It's a very, very dense piece of legislation with really detailed regulations that touch on all kinds of different topics. But the implication for municipalities, I mean, in a nutshell, number one, the legalization of recreational cannabis, the whole way that it's being regulated is intended to be very similar to how alcohol is regulated in the state. And, you know, just by way of information, municipalities have the right currently to prohibit any kind of retail sales of alcohol within their geographical boundaries. And that same provision appears in the cannabis legislation. So there, what the bill sets up is six classes of licenses. So just as you have multiple classes of alcohol licenses, there are six classes of licenses for recreational cannabis, ranging from, you know, cultivator, manufacturer, distributor, delivery services, and then the retailers. And there's one other that I've omitted. So each of those, so basically, you know, the different parts, I guess, you know, everything from the growing operations to the end, you know, point of sale requires different types of licenses. There will be caps on the number of licenses that are issued statewide, although additional licenses can be allowed by the state. But for purposes at the municipal level, just as municipalities can ban alcohol sales, they can either prohibit all classes of licenses within their boundaries. They can prohibit some, not all classes of licenses. They can put a limit on the number of licenses that can be issued within a given municipality. But those regulations have to be put in place within the next 180 days. So you basically have until August 20th. If you're going to prohibit anything, you have until August 20th to do it. If you don't enact ordinances by August 20th, the window closes for 5 years. 5 years from now, municipalities will again have a 180-day window in which to pass regulations, either limiting or prohibiting the different classes of licenses. Those regulations would only apply prospectively, so any businesses, any existing businesses would not be subject to those regulations. So, you know, you have often heard me when you're considering ordinances and you're unsure of what the implications are, you know, will there be unintended consequences? Won't there be, you know, I always say try to get it right, but understand if there are issues that arise, you can always amend your ordinances to address the issues as they arise. Well, I'm here to tell you that with cannabis, you can't. So once you, if you do nothing, then all of the different types of cannabis operations will be an outright permitted use in all industrial zones and a conditionally permitted use in all non-residential zones with no conditions specified. So I don't know why they say it's a conditionally permitted use because there are no conditions associated. Similarly, if you only prohibit a certain type of license, then all of the others would be deemed, again, permitted in all your industrial zones and conditionally permitted in all of your non-residential zones, and that's for the next 5 years and, frankly, forever. So you can always at any time, if you prohibit, then choose to relax your regulations. What you can't do is go the other way during, you know, for the next 5 years, which is a very long way of saying that you know, I've been meeting almost daily now with attorneys around the state, and pretty much the universal recommendation, and it's coming out of the league as well, is that for even municipalities that do have an interest in allowing some or all of these operations, we're all recommending, in the meantime, just pass a placeholder ban to give yourselves time to figure out what you want to do and to really understand what the implications are. Because there's no take-backs. So, well, there's a take-back in terms of, the, you know, any ban, any type of prohibition can be lifted, but you can't go the other way. Now, in terms of the tight, you know, what is so complicated, what would you need to study? You know, it's all of the normal land use aspects, you know, with that might be associated with retail operations, with manufacturing, you know, with cultivating. the regulations themselves are just unbelievably detailed. I mean, right in the bill, I'll just give you an example of some of these things. The bill itself stipulates what type of identification a retailer can and cannot accept as proof that the person is of legal age to purchase cannabis. I've never seen a piece of legislation like that. You see that in administrative regulations, but this legislation actually lays out in about six paragraphs just talking about IDs, and that's the tip of the iceberg. There are also already just ambiguities that we're picking up on in the legislation that really, I think, make it very confusing about what might and might not be allowed under this bill. And there are already changes being made. There's already further legislation, I know, that's floating out there, more cleanup bills. And so we're anticipating further changes. And then the last piece is the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, which is the state agency that has already been created, and that's going to have oversight for all of this, has to promulgate regulations to implement a lot of what is in the legislation. It has 180 days to promulgate those regulations, and a lot of the bill's provisions don't even kick in until those regulations are promulgated. And so, some of the questions that we have now, we're hoping will be answered by the regulations, but those regulations won't be adopted until after the window for municipalities to regulate has closed. And so, it may very well be that on the 181st day, the municipality that put in a total ban decides that it's going to allow everything. But the point is, if you prohibit now, and the legislation explicitly allows municipalities to ban all cannabis-related operations with one exception, if you do it now, you can always lift it. Once you really have had a chance to look at everything, to see what regulations come out, to understand what all the issues are, but you can't go the other way. Now, the one exception, what no municipality can prohibit, is the delivery of cannabis by delivery services outside the town. So really, you're not able to prohibit, the possession or the consumption or the use. What you can prohibit is the types of licensed businesses that are associated with that use. You can prohibit some or all of them from establishing themselves as businesses in your municipality. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm agnostic. But from a legal perspective, as the attorney for the town, I think it's very important that you preserve all of your options and give the public a chance to talk to you about, what people do and don't want. And the best way to do that, quite frankly, and potentially counterintuitively, is to do the, to do the type of ordinance that's on your agenda this evening. That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you much. That's very thorough. And again, if this ordinance were to eventually be put up for adoption, it would require a public hearing and time for everyone to come out and comment and speak their piece. And obviously, you can do so tonight. Any questions or concerns that anyone would like to broach from the council to Ms. Waterbury Cecil?
I have a question.
Sure, hold on.
Can I just add one thing? Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to. Having said I had nothing further, of course I do. Just as a follow-up, I'm actually chairing a committee that is in the middle of putting together like a really detailed guidance document that we're going to be sending out to fellow local government attorneys. So I will be providing, tonight was the initial sort of at the 50,000 foot level report. I am going to be, able to provide you guys with much more detailed guidance in the coming days and weeks. Now I promise I'm done, except for answering questions.
All right, and Tom, before you start, if anybody is on who is not currently speaking, would you please mute? Go ahead.
So you mentioned there were six types of licenses. Is one of them the, let's say, the growing of the marijuana as a
yes.
sort of like a warehouse kind of operation?
Yes, that's the cultivator license. I can't give you every single detail about the growing operations. The most important one is that they take place indoors.
Right. I just wanted to make an observation that if there's a warehouse that Clinton Town is putting up and a lot of the residents are not happy with that. So if we didn't prevent that type of license in our township, we would have that as a problem. Correct?
Potentially.
Right. So I just wanted to bring up that we're not looking to ban marijuana. A lot of people online might be thinking that. We just want to understand those six different types of licenses. I'm sure no one online wants a warehouse or a cultivating facility built next to their house. So this will provide us some control over that. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Any other members of council have a question for?
So, Trishka, essentially, I think what you're describing is, excuse me, there's just so many unknowns with the legislation still evolving, actually, to some degree. The regulations not yet promulgated. We may not even know within 180 days what the lay of the land would be when we're so inclined to allow this.
I think that's right. I'm certainly hoping that within the next 180 days we'll have a lot more information, and you may find that you have the information that you need. I just don't – I can't say with any confidence.
Okay.
That you would. And the other thing I just want to, mention is, we're saying, we have 180 days to put something in place. Well, the clock started ticking at the end of February. And beyond that, as you well know, it takes a few weeks just to introduce and adopt an ordinance. And before you even introduce, you have to have worked out every detail and all of the language. So it's not an overnight process. It takes a long time, especially with something this complicated.
For instance, to play on what Tom just talked about, we just passed our land use law essentially prohibiting warehouses. So we get into an interesting conversation. Does allowing cannabis cultivator somehow override that? If is it more of a greenhouse, is it more of a warehouse? So there are a lot of complicated issues to be worked through, I think.
Yes. One of the questions that I'm currently trying to figure out, and this sort of goes to what a comment that was made by one of your residents during the first public comment period. I think the great point about Metropolitan Seafood and how having brewery open up has really generated a lot of foot traffic. Well, one of the things that I saw in the bill today that's raised a big question in my mind, and I haven't chased down the answer. There's a provision right now in the legislation that says that you can't have any retail cannabis operations on any premises on which is located any type of food retail, so grocery store, deli, any business that retails food or food products or liquor stores. What I have not yet determined in the legislation is what does
Trishka, you're breaking up. We lost.
I can't.
She's got the AirPods. She's got a switch. Battery died. Or they disconnected.
Now?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't know when I got disconnected. Sorry about that. Stupid AirPods. What I was starting to explain, and I don't know at what point you lost me, was it's not at all clear from the legislation whether, for instance, a cannabis retail operation could open up in a shopping center that also has a grocery store or a liquor store, because they can't be in or on the same premises as a food retailer or a liquor store. And a lot of times, especially in the context of shopping centers, you may be talking, a single tax lot for the whole center. I don't know if that's the case or not, but when I say that there's a lot of open questions in the legislation, that's what I'm talking about. That's an example.
Do you know if there's any limitation on or how close a facility can be to a school? We have
yes.
North Honorton and we have the Clinton Township School District.
I don't know because I haven't slogged through enough of the bill yet, and Lieutenant DeRosa might know, in terms of how close can one of these businesses be located to. I do know that there are very stringent limits on advertising. and you know, in any way, shape, or form. And for that, there are definitely distance requirements. Like, you can't have any type of flyer, advertisement, you know, identifier within, you know, X number of feet of a school. You know, and there's a lot, I mean, it's excruciatingly detailed in terms of what cannot happen.
Right. I'm just curious, and I know I'm the liaison for North and Voorhees. I'm wondering what educators feel about this. I mean, I know this is our deal, but I wonder how they feel, like what their opinions are, how close they would want it, or, you know, if they are educating our children, and is it going to make it more difficult for them? That's just a concern of mine.
Well, and I think, you know, this circles back to, there are a lot of questions that I think you need to look at and get answers to in order to determine how much you want, you know, whether and how much to allow.
Right.
And I'm just not comfortable with the fact that there's such a short window in which to do it, and that once that window closes, your hands are tied, which is, it's really unusual. I mean, normally you can, you know, pass and amend ordinances and, you know, and adjust to deal with issues that come up, and you're not going to have that ability here.
So Triska, is your sense that most municipalities are going to pass this sort of resolution as just sort of a blocking resolution? That's nothing with the merits of legalization, which is, it is objectively legal and the use is permitted. It's just that there's these unknowns cause us so much trouble, because we do go to a lot of trouble on zoning issues, and this kind of overrides them to some degree if we don't take action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does override them if you don't take action. Sitting here, I can't say whether most or all municipalities are going to do it. It's early days yet. I can tell you that among my own clients, they're seriously considering it, even those that are also seriously considering allowing, you know, any number of cannabis operations within their borders. They are still seriously considering putting in a placeholder ban to give themselves the time to look at the issues properly and make sure that they're really considering all the angles first.
And now I'll get, this might be too detailed, but, you know, you mentioned that after 180 days, if it's not prohibited, it's a permitted use or conditional use in certain zones. What happens with hours of operations and all the other things we normally would regulate about an establishment? Is that set by some state standard or default?
I believe that there are, that is already in the legislation. I can't tell you with certainty based on my first read through of the entire bill, because some of the details got lost. As I said, I'm not going back through and really digging in. I mean, it is incredibly prescriptive legislation. I mean, it's like right down to, you know, edibles that contain cannabis. Like, they can't, I mean, it regulates like the size and the shape and what it can and can't look like. You know, very protective, I think, of, you know, making sure that there's just a whole series of requirements, I think, that are intended to really make sure that it's not appealing to minors, you know, beyond, you know, that there's no marketing, that there's no, you know, there's no producing it in a way to make it particularly appealing to minors, I guess I'm being very inarticulate about it. But so I believe, yes, that there's already something in the legislation on hours of operation. And frankly, that's another reason for needing more time, is that it may very well be that a lot of fears and concerns that municipalities have are already addressed by the bill, and, you know, may or may not be addressed in a way that alleviates those concerns. But that is just, you know, that's part of why we're doing such a detailed review of the legislation. And anyway.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Very thorough. I appreciate all the information. I hope everyone else does as well. And at this point, we'll move on to resolutions. The first resolution is a resolution authorizing the hiring of Susan Brady as a temporary part-time violations clerk. This is we have a vacancy currently in the court and need some backfilling. So this is a part-time measure to get us through a few months here where I think we'll be in a bit of a crunch. Ms. Mankiewicz, if I have missed anything or misstated, please correct me.
Everything's good. Everything's good.
Any members of the council have questions, concerns?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
May I have a motion, please?
I'll move.
So moved.
Oh, I'll probably give Amy the motion and Mark the second.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slitwick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malay?
Yes. Next item on our – no, the passes, thank you much. The next item on our agenda is the introduction of the 2021 budget. The budget and presentation you all should have received. I believe the presentation was posted to the website Friday. Some quick highlights. The surplus at the end of 2020 was up to $1.5 million, which is a substantial increase, about $700,000 better than the year before. So we're certainly headed in the right direction. Unfortunately, last year, our revenues declined in some key areas, interest, court, construction fees, et cetera. So though we have a total increase of appropriations of less than 1%, 0.92%, we are going to see a tax rate increase of 2 cents, which is about 4.8% for the average home. One of the biggest single items, which accounts for a good chunk of that, is $200,000 for SCBA equipment that we have allocated in the capital fund. That is really quite necessary for the fire department. They found out this earlier this year, just a few weeks back, that a good chunk of their current air pack store, the majority of it, is no longer going to be supported as of the end of this year. So when it breaks, it is old, they'll be short air packs, which we really can't afford to have them be. Other than that, I think the budget's pretty self-explanatory. We've just moved some money around in different areas. We've got some money in now for road repair, for chip sealing, and I think really all around a responsible budget. Any questions from the council?
I had all my questions answered.
Yeah, as have I. I would like to comment to thank Veed and all the departments that you and Tom for the hard work on going through it, because I did look at it pretty closely, and there were lots of ups and downs, and I could tell it was examined very, very closely, and I appreciate that work. Obviously, never happy with the tax increase, but, you know, we need to provide the essential services of the town. We need to keep building the surplus. We obviously have to pay the debt, provide public safety. I appreciate the work.
We're definitely headed in the right direction. It's unfortunate. I think we had a pretty decent year last year, and one highlight too is our net debt has steadily decreased as we pay it down. So we're down to about $18 million right now, which we haven't been at in quite a long time. So
yeah, and I think that trend, Brian, is actually quite important that trend continue, because the magnitude and composition of the debt is not something I think we want to continue. So I think that paying it down is key for the township in the long run financially.
And then I think for those who may be wondering, on an average house of around $395,000, it's an increase of $78 for the year. With that said, I'm going to make the motion on this one to introduce. May I have a second?
So moved, Mark.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slitwick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malay?
Yes. And we're doing things a little differently with our ordinance introductions, so I just want to make sure I get this right. If it's amenable to everyone, we'll set the date for the public hearing on this, April 14th. Do we need We don't need a motion or anything. We're good, right? So if there's no objection, April 14th it is for the public hearing on the budget. Moving on to introduction of an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending various provisions of Section 4-52 of the Code of the Township of Clinton pertaining to the Clinton Township Police Department, a long overdue overhaul and honestly a economizing of our ordinance, which made administering the police department a little bit difficult. It is going to recreate the position of police chief. We haven't had a real solid top line leader in the department for many years since abolishing the police chief in the mid 2000s. There was a period where we had a police director, and we've not had one of those for quite a while. So I think this is a good move. And are there any comments, questions on the part of council?
I think, again, Brian, like you said, long overdue. I'd like to echo your comments on that and look forward to introducing and moving forward.
Just for my clarification, if I could. I did notice that we took out lots of language that existed and now reference statute or the rules and regulations. I guess that's to avoid conflicts that could occur, and then the ordinance sort of becomes self-correcting. Statute changes, ordinance changes, rules change, ordinance catches up.
Correct.
That's a lot simpler. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, Trishka did a great job. We've uncovered a lot of things that were contradictory, and this is going to help quite a bit. And there is much more to come on Chapter 4 cleanup. Some that may even touch this again, so we'll be back. But, any other comments from council?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, sir. May I have a second?
I'll second. We'll get to Mark.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Sweatless?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Millay?
Yes. And without objection, we'll set the public hearing for this ordinance for March 24th. That works for all. Hearing no objection, that's what it'll be. Okay, item number 13, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Clinton Township's land use regulations to prohibit all classes of cannabis business within the township. We've had a pretty good discussion on it with our attorney. We listened to some comments. Again, this is only an introduction. And before I open to comment from council, I just want to make a suggestion that if we do vote to introduce this, I would suggest afterward that we set the date for the public hearing a little later than we otherwise might, to May 12th. So at this point, any comment or any questions remaining on the part of council?
I would just like to make a statement, I suppose, or clarify. Accepting the introduction of this ordinance, even if it's eventually passed, it doesn't change the township's responsibility to perhaps to discuss permitting these uses where appropriate in the township. Will there be a process to do so?
Was that a question regarding whether there'll be a?
It was. I'm sorry. I started a statement that I changed to a question. My fault. I'm just wondering. So our fault would be, you know, we were talking about time is short. We can't get this done in 6 months. But I wanted to ensure that we're not precluding a follow up to look through the statute, the legalization, enabling legislation regulations, to understand what they are and how we might be able to access that township if appropriate. I'm not saying it is. I just don't know.
Is you're not precluding that process.
Okay.
No, the ordinance would definitely not preclude you from doing that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you much. Any other questions on the part of council? Okay, not hearing any. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Strauss. May I have a second?
I'll second.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
And Mayor Malloy?
Yes. And as mentioned earlier, if it's amenable to all, I would ask that we set the meeting, the public hearing date for this to May 12th. Without objection. All right, hearing no objection, that's it, May 12th. Last but not least is a, Carly, could you, just for, I'm getting a little bit of, thanks, a little bit of reverberation. Lastly is a capital ordinance providing for improvements to Gray Rock Road in Clinton Township in the County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, appropriating $194,000 therefore to pay the cost thereof. This is to accommodate a grant that we will receive after we complete the work on Gray Rock Road. We are, actually I spoke to the township engineer this morning. He met with our DPW director, Jay, and I think they've pretty much got the bid specs ready to go. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll go out to bid, receive bids, and award in time to go out and start construction on all of Gray Rock, both sides of the highway, Fairview, Fulper, and Fulper, by summer. Questions, concerns from council?
Nothing.
Hearing none, may I have a motion?
I'll move.
May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Mayor Malloy?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you much. And without objection, I'd like to set the public hearing for this ordinance for our next meeting, March 24th. Hearing no objection, that'll be the date. Now we shall move to our final public comment session. This is the public comment session that is open to any item you wish to discuss. A reminder for how to make a comment or ask a question. If you're using a computer, please click on participants and then click on raise hand next to your name. If you are using a mobile device, click raise hand from the meeting controls. If you are using a telephone, press star 3. You will hear the prompt. You have raised your hand to ask a question. Please wait to speak until the host calls on you. If you need to unmute yourself, please press star 6. And that's important on the phone, star 6. Please wait to be called on and limit your comments to 3 minutes. And as before, I will start with those who've managed to raise a hand. I see, let's see if I can widen this a little bit first so I can read some names. Mr. or Mrs. or Mr. and Mrs. Deckman. Go ahead. And I also,
before you start, everybody.
I heard. Mr. Deckman, could you
for a second?
Thank you. I'd ask everyone who's not speaking to mute so that we don't have any technical difficulties hearing. And off we go. Please also state your name and your address when you speak. And the Deckmans are up. Go ahead.
Harry Deckman, 2 Woods Ed Court, Clinton, New Jersey. The comment will be pertaining to a letter I sent to yourself, the town council, as well as the mayor of Clinton and the town council of mayor and the land use board in Clinton. And it's concerns with the development of a warehouse in Clinton, in the town of Clinton on Block 18, Lot 5. That's going to house Christmas trees, which at first sounds innocuous, fair deal, until you think about it a little more. And what are the Christmas trees made of? Well, they happen to be PVC plastic. A rough estimate of a fully loaded warehouse would have kilotons to multi-kiloton quantities of trees. loaded within them. And should they burn, what happens is they release HCl, CO, and smaller quantities of even more dangerous chemicals. Many classic example of the more dangerous chemicals are dioxins. At the moment, from the information I've been provided, exactly what the risk and risk assessment of what we would do if this really went up, the national scale fire, has really not been addressed. What does that mean? Well, of course, there would be, we assume, although it hasn't, I haven't seen all the details, I'm sure there's some sprinkler system planned in the building, but that has been known to fail. And the question arises, these are different than normal PVC. PVC, if you try to burn PVC pipes, they're not that burnable, but Christmas trees, you can look them up, are flammable. you can see videos of artificial Christmas trees on the Ryan Labs, many other places if you feel like it. They do then rye because they have a high surface area, dispersed structure of the needles. By my estimate, if a fully stocked warehouse were to burn down, this would be the largest PVC fire in the history of the nation. It would rival many of the vinyl chloride explosions in events that you've seen, or the scale of them that you've seen in the past. Formosa being an example of that. So I think there's some honest questions you want to ask or think about. One, which is what risk assessment has really been done? And in that, you kind of break it down to minutiae things, or, what's the sprinkler system that's your first line of defense, lightning protection. And, of course, then comes the worst case. If the fire is not suppressed and the building loaded with Christmas trees, its maximum capacity starts to burn.
Mr. Dexter, I just asked you to give you another 30 seconds.
Okay, we'll do. Okay. Will do. And what ability do we have to fight the fire? And, of course, what would be the range of the plume of smoke that you have to consider? Because remember, HCl incapacitates people at 1,000 ppm, and base was Neurontin at 100 and lethal at around 2,000 ppm. So that's the primary concern. I have secondary concerns, which is light trespass, but I think that for the township should be the biggest concern. Figuring out what a risk assessment is, because the radius would certainly encompass the several miles of the township.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the comments, and I think you do have them in your letter, and maybe what I can do is suggest Councilman Strauss, who's our public safety liaison, I'll touch base with after this call, and we'll see if it makes some sense to raise that concern to our fire chief and possibly the town of Clinton Fire Department as well.
Will do, Mayor. I got notes on that.
Thank you. All right. Next on the list that I see here is Mr. Corcadillis. You're recognized.
Thank you. I'm looking at your item number 12 relating to amending provisions of Section 452 for the police department. This is so inadequate and deceptive, Brian. What this should say is that you're looking at eliminating a police director position and reinstituting a police chief's position. Why doesn't it say that in the ordinance on the agenda? When I hired attorney Chris Hattinger and attorney Cecil in 2006, the first thing that Chris Hattinger advised me to do was to eliminate our chief's position and create a police director position. You should ask Ms. Cecil to explain to you why Hattinger told me that. You're taking the Clinton Township PD back to the Stone Age and back to the controversies of the Borkowski era. I can't believe that you listed this item without explicitly pointing out that what this is all about is eliminating a police director position and recreating a chief's position. Next point. regarding the cannabis ordinance. What you've created here, first of all, if you have 6 months, why are you in such a rush to pass an ordinance prohibiting cannabis businesses? Why didn't you take the time to look into this as you claim you want to do? Because what you've done is you've created an echo chamber in this meeting, an echo chamber of no. You have 6 months, so get to work implementing the law. I suggest that instead of paying your lawyer to tell you to be very afraid, that you identify other towns that plan to move ahead more progressively with cannabis businesses and work together with them to develop the appropriate regulations. Share the legal costs. If your attorney can't handle this and isn't state of the art, hire special counsel that can do the job. In 2007, we hired special counsel from Florida to handle the controversy of highway billboards. We hired special counsel to handle affordable housing. Town attorneys do a good job on basic stuff. When you have a special issue, you hire special counsel if you don't know what you're doing. What you're doing now is kicking the can down the road. This is the first meeting I've been to in almost a year, and I frankly can't believe the disingenuousness and the deception going on with respect to how you're telling the public what you're doing. I'm really disappointed.
Well, Mr. Corcoran, I thank you for your comments. I will disagree with you. First and foremost, I don't believe there was any intent to deceive. The ordinance was posted in its entirety. And furthermore, I mentioned this during the meeting specifically. I didn't hide it. I didn't try to brush it under the rug. That said, the only other comment I really have is I have a better opinion of your ability to hire an attorney than you apparently do. So with that said, we will move on to Ms. Judith McDonald.
You're accusing me of something here, Brian.
No, Mr. Kirkadillis, your period of comment is over. Thank you very much.
I'm not disparaging your attorney. What I'm saying is
it sounded that way to me.
You should ask your attorney what the senior attorney that we hired instructed us to do and why. Thank you.
Ms. Judith McDonald, you're up.
Thank you. So I just wanted, this is Shari Judith McDonald of 74 Old Mountain Road. Just a couple of comments following the commentary that I heard a little bit earlier. So one was about having the warehousing for growing cannabis. So I had two thoughts on that. One was, and I'm glad the other gentleman brought up the warehouse with the plastic Christmas trees, because I was thinking of that in this and that going up in flames and having problems versus a warehouse, which I consider to be similar to maybe the one in Reddington, which is the old Walmart, which, you know, is growing plants, right? It's plant matter, tons of plant matter, tons of jobs. And so I was thinking of the two of those actually in comparison, because you didn't really comment about the warehouse except for about, I think, the driving around that area versus the fact that that was plastic Christmas trees versus you did comment about, do you want to live next to a warehouse that's growing plants? Sure. And the second is, again, I guess, about the warehouse was, I think of the people that live over by the Exxon. And I remember attending a meeting, I don't know, maybe it was like a couple of years ago now, where the Exxon came in because they were going to put in additional oil tanks to that area. And the people, the community around there
didn't want it.
They all were fighting that live on that street that backs up. I forget the name of the street that backs up right into the Exxon where you can see all those oil tanks and how unsightly that is. Now, of course, Exxon brings a lot of taxes to our community, but those are unsightly tanks. People have to live there. I would think that a plain warehouse that is innocuous, basically with plants growing in it, is really not that big of a deal compared to those big, ugly oil tanks that are over on by the Exxon. So I just, you know, and I am disappointed in that the council here did not, you know, is, I feel, rushing to do this ordinance and push things, you know. I think maybe you should have waited a little bit longer and gathered more public opinion besides maybe tonight and even have a community discussion before passing this ordinance.
Well, just to clarify, the ordinance hasn't been passed yet. It's been introduced. We had to take a vote to introduce it. There'll be a public hearing for additional public comment. That was what we were discussing. And for the purposes of this ordinance, we set that public hearing date for May 12th.
Yes, I've written that down. I feel like it feels very negative, unfortunately. So I feel like that there's a lot of other states. Now, we're learning in the state of New Jersey, but if you look at a lot of other states that have been down this path, perhaps there's something to be learned. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel necessarily. So I think we can learn from other states and other communities. Exactly. And be a little more open-minded with our space that we have here in Clinton Township. Because, ultimately, you don't pass it here in Clinton Township, right? Then other people can just go spend their money in the neighboring towns.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your comment.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Okay. I see Mr. McTiernan would like to make a comment.
Dan McTiernan on the city.
Dan, I can hardly hear you.
Fix that.
You sound very, very distant.
How's this?
Still no good. You can try. Give it a try, and we'll see if we can get up on the recording. But go ahead.
Okay, I live in the Deer Meadow development, which borders Clinton Town, where the warehouse is being developed. I just wanted to thank the mayor and council for his willingness to look at Moses Place, the traffic there. You may recall back in the late 80s, early 90s, when 31 had not been dualized, the traffic that would come through this development resulted in a no-left turn sign being put on the corner of Grey Rock Road and Melody Lane, stopping the traffic. And so many people walk around here. It's just good that you're looking at our neighborhood, trying to protect it. I also ask that as you're looking at the traffic, also, stormwater management should be looked at as this development is being placed. It sits way above this development, and much of the stormwater will run off and get over into Harvest Court, Woods Edge Court, and really back up the sewer systems that we've had here leading over to the river. Had some familiarity with the old Palmer residents. Again, I just wanted to thank the mayor and council for their commitment to look at the traffic and do their best to protect our neighborhood.
Okay, thank you very much. That concludes the public hearing for, or public comment for those who raised their hands. I would ask if there are any others who were unable to raise their hands.
To raise my hand.
Okay, there you go. We can hear you. And your hand's raised.
Oh, good. My name is Janice Gardinsky, and I'm at Sand Hill Road in Lebanon, New Jersey. My question is regarding Prospect East and about the trails. Are there plans to cut down trees for these trails?
Oh, Amy, we can't hear you. You're muted.
Well, you told me to.
I did.
I'm sorry, your name's Jane, did you say?
Janice,
sorry. No trees will be knocked down. The only thing that's going to be basically invasive, there's going to be some sticker bushes, some olives. But as far as healthy trees, absolutely not. Not one will be knocked down.
You've already knocked down some by putting a road in, right?
Actually, no. Those were already down. Our road department was down there. When did they put that in? A resident actually came up to them and addressed the situation, saying that those were new trees when they were not. They had actually been fallen, but to put the parking lot in, they had to move them aside. So it might look like they were stacked and chopped down, but those were actually dead trees to begin with.
Okay. Are these trails for pedestrians or wheeled vehicles?
Wheeled vehicles, as in ATVs?
Or bikes, trail bikes?
We're not, Open Space is reviewing possibly mountain biking. It's not really property that mountain bikers would like because it's probably only going to be 3 miles. Mountain bikers typically like to do 10 or 12. But we're not prohibiting it. And it's going to be basically walking trails, nothing significant.
And by mountain bike, you mean pedal-powered bike, not a...
Oh, yes, nothing motorized, absolutely not.
Okay, the original intent for the township acquiring the property were for conservation concerns. The master plan originally wanted to preserve all the wetlands around the Prescott Brook and the environmentally sensitive area of all that borders that area.
Right. Luckily, I am working closely with Open Space and Environmental. They are helping me with the Windy Acres trails, the Prospect trails. We are being diligent with the DEP. We are making sure we are not anywhere near wetlands. If there's a C1 stream, we are making sure that we're at least 25 feet away. If there's wetlands, we are 150 feet away. So I do appreciate your concern about, the environment, but believe me, we are very concerned of the environment as well. And we are preserving it. However, the taxpayers paid millions and millions of dollars for these properties. So we all believe in Open Space, Environmental and Council, that they should have the opportunity to walk on it.
Okay. Because of the steep slopes and various vernal springs there, and that there are box turtlenecks nest and bog turtles in that area, which one is a concerned species and the one is an endangered species, recently a brush hog plowed through the Prospect East area and has destroyed a number of box turtle nests there, which is a threatened species. And the real question, is there a need to destroy this habitat and environmentally sensitive area? We have Round Valley, Windy Acres, and various other areas that aren't as you have an 80-degree slope there that vehicles now, like the brush hog, went up and down and have caused erosion.
Ms. Curtis, and if you wouldn't mind, I'll give you 30 seconds to wrap it up.
Yeah, I can also take a call with you online and offline if you'd like.
Well, a number of us in the township really want this destruction of that area. The area is farmed and maintained, and there's just no need, even in the solicited environmental report online, you can read it there. It says, that was several years ago, that there was no need for more trails in the area. I can't cite exactly or something like that. But we don't want to see, especially the box turtleneck destroyed anymore. I mean, a brush hog plowed through there, and it just seems totally unnecessary.
The farmer also does brush hogging, and we are also very committed to make sure that we are not disturbing any type of wildlife, for instance, birds, even though olives are invasive, and we do want to get rid of them. We do not want to take too many of them because there's animals that live in them. We are very careful about animals and the environment. And also, I'll reiterate it again, the township, the majority of the residents are enjoying these walking trails. We're not disturbing much. We're basically just clearing an area for someone to walk through. I do understand that, you might not like the trails there, but as I mentioned before, the taxpayers have paid millions of dollars for this. I think they have the right, as long as we're careful and sensitive to the environment, that they walk on the property.
It remains.
That's all I have to
say. It wasn't millions. It was.
I'm talking about our open space property.
All told. But I think we've covered this sufficiently, and that there's. I think we would disagree that there's been destruction. Has been performed on that.
Well, there's an 18-foot block cut through the property.
Ma'am, your time's up. Thank you much. I see a phone number here. 732. Please mute if you're not speaking. I see a phone number here. 732.
Okay.
Starts with a 3, ends in a 6. You're recognized.
Hi, can you hear me?
You sure can. Yep.
Hi, Kevin Reedy. I'm on River Road in Annandale. I apologize. I joined an hour and 28 minutes ago, but you had already talked about Bunt Park and, you know, not in the new business section. Is it possible just to do a quick recap of what the refurbishments are?
Oh, sure.
My understanding is we're losing basketball courts.
The refurbishments are there will be, instead of 4 basketball courts, there will be 2. And the 2 that will be removed will be replaced with tennis court and pickleball court.
Is it just court resurfacing? Are the hoops being replaced? I enjoy basketball. I enjoy going there with my children. I know there's only 3 courts there right now instead of 4, so losing another one kind of puts a strain on those of us who try to play there.
Yeah, and I do know that they don't all get used. I know, listen, from my perspective, I used to take my kids there and learn how to ride their bike at the far end. But yes, the intent would be to put new hoops up. And honestly, I think the best person that would be available for you to speak with would be the recreation director, Tom Sylvia. He has more details on exactly what it will look like and what will be included.
That's fine. I actually tried to find some things online about it. I couldn't, but I'm glad to hear that it's being refurbished. That's great. I understand people like tennis and pickleball, so
you're publishing your next month's edition.
Right. Very good. Is that all?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. And last but not least, Mr. Slight. Or S Light. You're recognized, and somebody's not muted who might need to be.
Might be, yeah.
I can't tell who it is. Thank you.
Okay. This goes to the question of the capital budget plan.
I'm sorry, could you state your name and your address, please?
Yes, it's Steve, and it's 1 Granite Terrace.
Okay.
In the capital budget plan, I see 6 roads that are being paved and partially reconstructed. I know you mentioned Grey Rock might have free money when you're done. I don't know about the other roads, but I do see other public works and other types of vehicles and things that are being purchased. I heard the basketball courts being renovated and a tennis court and stuff being put in. And I do know that there's a capital surplus. So I'm just getting to the point of our road, which is Grandin Drive and Grandin Terrace. And I realize that perhaps no one has looked at it, but it's in poor shape. A lot of potholes, big ones. Roads are cracked. There's a sewer drain that comes into runoff. And that's got holes all around it, very deep, with, I guess, red markers around it. So the road is actually not good in both the drive and the terrace. I realize, obviously, that our taxes are going up, even though there's a surplus. But I'm just wondering whether or not there could be something done with our road.
Well, I would definitely say it has not been brought to my attention, that particular road, unfortunately. For our capital road budget, the number of roads that really need some work exceeds, unfortunately, what we've got available to spend on it. And we do rely on some grant money to help offset some of those costs. My hope is to do a few roads if we can. I don't know why yours wasn't brought to our attention, but I can tell you there are some pretty high traffic roads, Hibbler being one that's pretty, really, really in rough shape, and other ancillary roads that are also really bad. It's unfortunate, and we're trying to move through them as quickly as we can. I will bring this to DPW and see if they can do something on a short-term basis. I know we're looking to do that with some other roads. Beyond that, I can't commit to anything at the moment, but we'll certainly take a look.
One quick note. It is not a heavily trafficked road. It's actually drive leads into Terrace, and it's a double cul-de-sac. So once you get in here, you're in. So it's certainly not a high-trafficked area.
Right. So we'll definitely have them take a look.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you for waiting around to voice that concern. I know it's been a bit of a longer evening, so thank you.
Okay. Thank you again.
I don't see any other hands raised at the moment. Is there anyone who I missed who would like to speak? Please try to just come off mute and say something if you'd like to speak. Okay. Hearing nothing, Mr. Glazer, I believe it is your portion of the meeting.
I move that we adjourn.
May I have a second, please? Chris, can you say it out loud? I couldn't hear you.
Can you please go ahead and mute myself? Second.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slipper?
Yes.
Council President Kaczynski?
Yes.
Mayor Millay?
Yes. All right, meeting's adjourned. Thank you all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. And thank you all to the public for attending. It was a well-attended meeting for a change.
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice. That was good.